Welcome, everyone, to this week's weekly market update, October 30th, about 11 o'clock Central Time with myself and Carl. How are you?
I'm doing just well today, Scott. Yourself?
Doing well. We are in the midst of some Halloween celebrations tomorrow, and more importantly, I suppose, is the end of October, and we'll talk about the importance of that. But just to give us a market recap from last podcast, we have an S&P up 1.7%, NASDAQ 3.2%, Russell 0.5%, Dow 2.3%, and gold down slightly at 2%. But really more importantly to me is looking at the month of October and just focusing on the S&P. The month of October, which is traditionally packed with volatility, and we did in fact see a little bit of volatility on October 10th, but all in all it's been very stable. We talked about why that would be, and that was going to be the backdrop of the Fed's decision to cut rates, which we're going to talk about here in just a second. But all in all, the S&P in general is up basically 2% for the month of October. And I think that's good. October is known, I guess it's unfairly known for being a disastrous month, but what it should be known for is finding market bottoms for November through April, the best 6 month stretch of the year seasonally. And so I think that's very important. That's just a seasonal trend, but there's going to be some other reasons as to why we should expect the trend higher. I also do think that it would be healthy to see somewhat of a retracement today, tomorrow, in order to sort of clear the underbrush and allow for that methodical move into the end of the year, this Santa Claus rally. I think, Carl, we talked about in one of the last two podcasts, we talked about going over the three different Santa Claus rallies, and we'll do that. Maybe we'll do that next podcast, because that would get us into November. And that's really where that starts, one of the three starts. And so I think that'd be interesting to go over. But the biggest, well, I did want to share one thing on the equity side first. I found this to be interesting. So roughly 150 companies, you know, notable companies, have reported earnings for Q3 and or during the Q3 season. And 82% of those beat expectations. And that's the highest rate since 2001. That's telling you that companies are, you know, really starting to thrive again. That has to do really with what we're about to talk about, and that has to do with interest rates. So if we want to go ahead and jump over to Carl's corner and give us an update what we saw there yesterday.
So yesterday was a very eventful day, and maybe not for what the listeners are thinking it was. So we had a 25 basis point cut yesterday, as we anticipated, as the probability showed. So that was good. There was no surprises there. The surprise came, as usual, when Powell stepped to the podium afterwards and started speaking. And if we've talked about anything 100 times, it's the fact that when Powell speaks, the markets react, and they react very quickly to what comes out of his mouth. And this time, he said two things that I found very interesting and that affects the markets as a total. The first thing was he confirmed that December was not a foregone conclusion for a rate cut. Now, last podcast, the probabilities were over 90% for a December rate cut as well. A back-to-back 90% probabilities. So we almost baked that in on the entire market side. When he came out and stated that, it shifted from 90 plus percent probability. Now we're in the 70s
mm-hmm.
probability. And the reason why he said this is because he doesn't want to show his cards in a sense.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
He doesn't want to show everybody, look, this is exactly what's going to happen. So you can just go ahead and set your watch to it. We barely even need to have these meetings because you already know what's going to happen. He wants to show and almost prove that he has a foundation and that he says, look, we actually care about the numbers. You may say there's a foregone conclusion there's going to be a rate cut, but only if the numbers add up. You know, we're not just going to cut it every single time. If the numbers say we can cut it, we'll cut it. But we're waiting. And the markets reacted accordingly, and there was volatility immediately after he stated that.
He likes to appear as though they're like, to your point, there's a foundational plan that's data dependent. What I will say that he has proven year over year is he really likes that, for whatever reason, he really likes, maybe it's the whole committee, I don't know, but they will say like keeping December very unpredictable. We saw that in 2018 with a surprise rate hike. We've seen it every December with any sort of proposed fluctuations in interest rates. And so, if you remember, Carl, we talked about this in one of the recent podcasts about if they're going to pause, it would likely be December. And it's for that very reason. I wish I understood better why that is, but you can look at the patterns and see that to be the case. So, yeah, I agree with you totally. I don't think he, my guess would be that he doesn't want there to be an assumption of a rate cut because you're in the highest spending season of the year. And I think he wants to control any sort of spikes in inflation due to, like we've talked about, the velocity of money. And so I think that's kind of the he or the committee's game plan is to sort of counterbalance that. I don't think, though, that it necessarily means we won't get one. I just think that they will keep it unpredictable for all of November.
My thoughts exactly. I believe you're dead on. He doesn't want to show his hand and say, hey, there's going to be a rate cut. Because if you look at the markets, if you look at companies and the economy, there's no need for a rate cut in December, right? Because of there's just natural spending. It's going to happen. You don't need to force people to spend by cutting rates. You can almost always take December off. And that's what we talked about last year and the year before that when I first started joining this podcast. Was, hey, you can skip December because there's natural velocity going to happen. So you don't need to force it. The other part and the other half of what he said in his speech was he said he was going to clean the balance sheet for the Fed starting December 1st. And what that means is they are going to loosen the quantitative tightening, means we're going into a quantitative easing atmosphere. So in a brief synopsis of what that means, right now the Fed has its cash put into mortgage-backed securities and long-term mortgage-backed securities. And what they do is they don't rebuy when everything comes back out. So they're leaving their money in cash as opposed to repurchasing MBSs or repurchasing T-bills. That's them tightening the money supply. So it's not as easy to get the money. So in your way of speaking, the velocity has been greatly reduced because there's not enough flowing. So his plan, starting December 1st, is they are going to start reinvigorating the market by buying more MBSs and T-bills, meaning there's going to be a lot more flow happening. So you have the natural spending months, and now you have more cash flow available just because the Fed is releasing their cash. So now you have two things going towards your velocity of money, your increase in the market. So now it's almost, you don't need to. In fact, you may not want to cut rates in December and let that happen in January's meeting or March's meeting because you have too many things going on to where if you cut rates and your quantitative easing and you have the natural spending, you may see inflation creep back up, and that's what they don't want.
And just for our listeners, I remember this very vividly, but when quantitative easing was first done, it was well, not ironically, but it was done in November of 2008, and obviously a response to the housing crisis. And it was deemed at the time deemed to be somewhat of an experiment. And not necessarily a long lasting one. And here we are, what, 15, 17 years later. And we're still doing quantitative easing, quantitative tightening. And it was just an additional tool for the Fed from a monetary policy standpoint to try and navigate these different metrics. And oftentimes it's done in conjunction with changes in interest rates. So if you think about the biggest bull market that we've ever seen was a combination of lower rates and quantitative easing. And that was from essentially 2009 to, I mean, you could say all the way to 2022, basically. So I think that's actually all good stuff. It's not necessarily what, markets are forward-looking by 9 to 12 months, but investor mentality always ends up adjusting short term. So of course everyone wants the quick gains, right? The quick market movements. And that's not necessarily healthy for the markets. So I think a combination of what they're doing, and I've said this on this podcast before, I haven't really agreed with, I've agreed with the steps that have been taken. I haven't agreed with the pace of which these steps have been taken. But in this instance, I think that is the right, probably the right move, given, everything in the backdrop, meaning, the geopolitical side, and we've dealt with tariff talks all year long, and inflation metrics, and now we've got earnings here more recently. And so I think all in all, it is probably good that they kick QE off. And whether they cut rates or not, I don't think there could be a bad choice there. I mean, you might see a slightly negative market reaction because, again, that short-term desire for just continual higher prices in the equity markets. But all in all, I have to say, I think that probably is the right approach, given where we're at, or given where really where the box that they've put themselves in. That is probably the best path out of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one last thing on what Powell said was he believes that their inflation metrics that aren't attached to tariffs are at 2%, where they want it to be. So the numbers are proving, both like you and I just discussed, QE, natural spending, take December off, we kick it back off in January or March after the velocity of money slows down. And we should see a very good market, including with QE. Real estate does better because mortgage rates typically come down. They are a little bit of a laggard indicator in this, meaning it happens later. And one last thing that Powell was talking about was that the inflation not attached to tariff numbers is actually at 2%, which is where they want it. And so when you have QE and inflation where you want it and the natural spending, you can afford to kick December's rate cut to January, March. And also, coupled with that, when they have QE, normally mortgage rates come down. Now, it's a bit of a laggard, so it takes a little bit of time for it to come into effect, but mortgage rates typically come down, which means real estate will go up. So we are positioned as well in that in our portfolios. And so that's the last thing I'm going to talk about with Powell, Scott.
I guess one thing I will point out is if you haven't done any year-end planning yet, then we probably ought to, kind of clean that up before the holiday seasons. And also, if you're interested in doing Roth conversions and you haven't done it yet this year, now would be a good time to get that done, because once we get kind of towards the end of the year, it becomes a little bit harder to get that processed to make sure it gets done on time. So that's just a little tidbit to think about if you haven't done so already. Other than that, Carl, do you have anything else?
Nope, that's all I have. I hope everyone, if you do celebrate Halloween, is safe out there tomorrow, and hopefully it's not too cold. But if you think anyone might enjoy our commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean radio app.
Perfect. And with that, we're going to, I guess, wish everyone a happy Halloween and upcoming Friday and weekend. And we're going to go ahead and look forward to doing this again next week.